We continue the shiur in Gemara. We continue a statement made by Rabbi Akiva. If you recall, in the last shiurim, we spoke about the fact that every Jew has a part in Gan Eden waiting for him, no matter what sins he commits. Even if he does not repent for them, he is punished for the sins, but he still gets Gan Eden. There are a few sins that are so serious that if he commits one of those sins, he loses his Gan Eden permanently, chas v'shalom. We said that Rabbi Akiva added to that list by the statement that a person who reads, anybody who reads books of philosophy, no matter how good a person he is, no matter how many mitzvahs he does during his lifetime, there is no way he can ever get the key to Gan Eden. He is permanently expelled from Gan Eden, locked out eternally, unless, of course, he does tshuva seriously during his lifetime. Now, Rabbi Akiva adds one more statement, which is practically unknown and undiscussed because it does not exist anymore today. Yet, it does have some effect in a different area, so we'll mention this point. Rabbi Akiva says that committing this sin too means that a person can never get to Gan Eden. The sin or the act is one who has a wound or a sickness, type of illness, and he uses an illegal medicine, an illegal cure. Illegal cure consists of saying a special pasuk, a sentence from the Torah, over this sickness or over this wound to bring about a cure in a spiritual sense. This is using the Torah illegally. You could, of course, daven. That's Hebrew words also, daven to Hashem. But to use the Torah words, the pasuk in the Torah, as a magic potion to cure a sickness, this is so illegal and so evil that it is worse than all the other sins because a person can lose his Gan Eden for it. Now, the reason is, too, that the Torah is so holy, it has a far greater potent therapeutic value than any other medicine out. Medicines are made to help cure a sickness. The Torah is something which is a prophylactic, it's a preventative. A person who studies Torah can be protected against becoming ill. If he studies Torah diligently, this can protect him from acquiring any type of disease or illness. In addition to this criminal act of using the Torah to cure a sickness, the Gemara also elsewhere brings another case, and in Yerushalmi it clarifies it more, elaborates on it. If a person uses an idol, idolatry, to cure a sickness, or medicines made by idol worshippers. And of course, these medicines mean potions that are made up with the herbs that come from idols. Then this, of course, means using idols or avodah zarah for the sake of curing an illness. This is just as illegal. The Gemara tells about Elazar ben Dama, who was the nephew of Rabbi Yishmael. He became very sick, and he became sick because he was bitten by a poisonous snake. In this case, the wound was a fatal one, and he felt that there was one means of being aided. It's a question of life and death. There was a special medicine made up by the unmentionable one. At that time, this was a time when Yeshua, Yimach Shemo, existed, and he was known for his magic potions, idolatry. So he had a special potion made up that could cure snake bite. He had sent a messenger, a man named Yaakov, Kfar Schanya, who brought this medicine for the sake of Rabbi Shmuel's nephew. Rabbi Shmuel pleaded with his nephew not to take this medicine because it meant being cured through Avodah Zarah. The nephew began to argue and gave reasons why it should be allowed. After all, the Torah says, V'chai b'hem. You should live with the Torah and not die because of any law in the Torah. Rabbi Shmuel argued, though, that the Torah still forbids using idolatry, even if it's a matter of life and death. At that moment, his nephew passed away. Rabbi Shmuel said, I'm very happy that my nephew was Zocha. It's a privilege to die before using this Avodah Zarah medication. Because the Gemara says that one who disobeys the laws of the rabbis is bitten by a snake for which there is no cure. The Gemara asks, you're talking about a man who was already bitten by a snake, so what worse thing could happen to him? The Gemara says that the snake bite, as fatal as it is, could be cured. There are ways of curing it. There could be found some types of medicine or herbs in the world that could cure that. But the snake bite of a tzaddik, snake bite of the rabbis of the Gemara, meaning going against their words, this brings about a fatal disease for which there exists no cure ever. And this is what his nephew was saved from. At least he said, you died from a snake bite which affected you only in this world. You were not bitten by the snake of the Rabbonon, which could have caused death in the future world too. These are the two cases of curing an illness illegally. From this, come to a further discussion about medicine, about cures, on which there is a lengthy discussion. We'll try to cover as much of it as possible. It is based on one pasuk in the Chumash. Pasuk says, Hashem said to the Jews, that I have taken you out of Egypt, and in Egypt I struck them with certain types of diseases and illnesses. The wording is that Kol HaMachla Shesanti Mitzrayim Lo Asim Alecha. The sicknesses that I have given to the Egyptians, I will not give to you. I will not place upon you. You will never receive these illnesses. Why? Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha, because I, Hashem, am your doctor. I cure you. This is the sentence in the Torah. And the Gemara asks what seems to be an obvious contradiction. The Gemara asks, if Hashem said, I will not allow you to become ill or prevent the illness from striking you, then what does Hashem mean by saying, I am your doctor? A doctor cures one who is ill. But if you never become ill, what do you have to have a doctor for? What does Hashem mean when he said, I am your doctor, therefore what? The Gemara answers, this means that if you will listen to me, Hashem said, then I'll prevent any illness from striking you. You'll never become ill. If you don't, you will become ill, but remember that I will still cure you because I am Hashem, your doctor. So according to this answer, the pasuk, the sentence, seems to be clarified. It is clear now. Meaning again, that I will prevent you from becoming ill. That's only if you listen to Hashem and perform his mitzvahs. If you don't, then you will become ill. But remember that Kini Hashem Rofecha, I am still the one that will cure you and no one else. The commentaries ask on this statement. There is a Gemara in Megillah which states that Hashem brought about an instance where Mordechai saved the life of King Ahasuerus. He overheard two servants plotting to kill the king, and he revealed this to Esther, who in turn revealed it to the king. And so this was recorded in the diary of King Ahasuerus. Immediately afterwards, the Megillah says it was after this that Ahasuerus elevated Haman to the highest position in the land. The Gemara asks, what is meant by immediately after this? Why state it happened after this story? What is the connection? The Gemara answers that it was because of this incident that the Jews were saved, because later on the king remembered the good deed of Mordechai, and then that night he had Haman lead Mordechai through the city riding the king's horse. This means then that here was the case of a fatal disease, a fatal illness that would strike the Jews and wipe them out, but because of this incident that happened first, this is what saved them. This the Gemara calls the mako, the disease. Haman was the disease, and the cure was the incident. We see proof from here that Hashem first creates the cure for a disease, and then he creates the disease. If there are any diseases like polio, for example, that was sent down from heaven, and Hashem first creates a cure for it, he holds that cure in abeyance, he sends the disease down, and later on, this cure is sent to cure the medicine is sent to cure the disease. We see from there, though, that it is possible to have a cure without a disease. The cure is created first, so then the cure is by itself alone. Then later comes the disease. So in this case, then, what is the Gemara's question? Here it says that I am Hashem, your doctor. After saying I will prevent diseases from striking you, I can be a doctor without your having a disease too. I have the cure first, the disease can come later. This is what the commentaries ask, and of course there's no answer to it. They don't offer an answer, but the question itself appears to be of no strength whatsoever. There's no comparison, in fact, no similarity. It seemed to me that the case there is speaking about a disease which is forthcoming, like Haman was destined to come forth. Hashem created the cure first. As, for example, people say that there is the institution of marriage and there is divorce. Now, in the Torah we find, the Gemara, we find that the first Sefer, the first Gemara, is Gittin, dealing with divorces. The second one deals with marriage. Why? Because Hashem created the cure before the disease. First we have the divorces, which can cure a wrong type of marriage, Chas V'Shalom. Now in this case, though, there is no similarity, because here Hashem says there will be no disease. I will prevent disease from coming completely at all, and then Hashem says I am a doctor. If you follow this, we have a statement so far which has been answered. However, we want to go into this in a much deeper sense. And very fittingly, because King Solomon says, Dova b'itay ma tov, how wonderful it is to speak of something that is very timely. Now, right now, it is Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the time for Tshuva. And just a few days ago, we had a special shiur, you recall, on Rosh Hashanah, dealing with Rabbeinu Zal's last shiur, the last Rosh Hashanah of his life. Now, it happened that 2 years prior to that, the most important shiur of Rabbeinu Zal was given on Rosh Hashanah. 2 years before his passing, also on Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Zal gave a similar shiur. And that shiur was based primarily on this sentence. But the Gemara asks the question, how can it be possible to have no sickness and then have a doctor? Rabbeinu Zal gave an entire shiur on that on Rosh Hashanah, and that's the shiur we want to take up now to show how marvelously Rabbeinu Zal answers this question and how much Rabbeinu Zal reveals in this shiur about medicines in general. Rabbeinu Zal says that the prophecy, nevuah, the power of prophecy, as the Gemara says, was only in Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Israel, the power of prophecy did not rest, which means the Shekhinah did not come down on a prophet to reveal any predictions by Hashem, any messages by Hashem. That's why we find that Yonah fled. Yonah, who was swallowed by the fish, fled Israel, so he should have no further contact with heaven. How? Because he figured outside of Israel there's no contact. Now, why is it that in Israel we have the power of Nevuah? Remember, Nevuah means prophecy, and there is none outside, because Yerushalayim, the word Yerushalayim comes from a combination of two words, Yira Shalayim, complete Yira, complete fear of Hashem. A person who is zochet to have complete fear of Hashem, that person can be zochet to actually receive a message by Hashem, from Hashem. So therefore, this, where can you have complete fear? Respect only in Yerushalayim, which stands for Yerushalayim. When a person is zochet to this power of Nevuah, complete fear, what follows subsequently? the power of tefillah. Tefillah is tied in with nevuah. We have a pasuk, Borei Niv Svasayim. Hashem creates the power of speech. Niv, word nevuah, prophecy, greatest power of speech is tefillah, tied in with nevuah. According to the spheros, we have the last two spheros are Netzach Vahod, which are nevuah, and from them is Malchus or tefillah. So that tefillah, the power of davening, is directly tied in with nevuah. So we now have this continuity. Where the Yirah Shamayim, the fear of Hashem, is solid, the nevuah is strengthened, and then the tefillah becomes one of perfection. To make it still better, we know that the highest peak, greatest point the tefillah is, the tefillah is called Devar Hashem, the word of Hashem. A person davens with such intensity, with such kavona, that Hashem himself gives the person words to speak to back to Hashem with. So the person speaks with Devar Hashem. Hashem provides him. A person, for example, standing, wants to speak to Hashem in his bodhidus. Bodhidus means private communion with Hashem. He wants to pour out his heart to Hashem, but he cannot find words. So he cries forth to Hashem, not just to help him to do other mitzvahs, but Hashem, help me to have his bodhidus. Help me to speak to you. And suddenly he finds that his heart begins to pour out words that are so beautiful, he never thought of these words before. This is the Devar Hashem, Hashem providing him with words with which to beseech and implore Hashem for assistance. Therefore, the top peak of tefillah is Devar Hashem. Now this Devar Hashem, meaning the assistance by Hashem in order to perfect the tefillah, this answers a question when the Gemara asks, one of the major requirements of davening is to be Samech Geula L'Tefillah. When you get to the Shemoneh Esrei, you have the last words are in the morning, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael. And the law is, you're not allowed to pause there before starting the Shemoneh Esrei at all. You cannot answer Amen or Yehi Shemei Rabbah or anything at all. It must be directly tied with the next words of Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara asks, if that is so, if that must be tied with Shemoneh Esrei, how come that you say Hashem Svasai Tiftach? Isn't that line, which is not part of Shemoneh Esrei, isn't that line a hefsek, a break between God Yisrael and the Shemoneh Esrei? Now, the Gemara answers that it is part of the Shemoneh Esrei, but it's difficult to understand that. According to the Rabbeinu, we understand that perfectly. Hashem Svasai Tiftach, to bring the tefillah to perfection, means take the tefillah itself out of Golus. The tefillah, when it is not perfect, is in Golus, it's in exile, it's not free. A tefillah that is perfect and free is one that is redeemed, a geula of a tefillah. So to redeem the tefillah means to have it reach the perfection of Hashem, the word of Hashem. So Hashem Svasai Tiftach means Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. We want to be goel, to redeem, to take out of goel the tefillah itself. How? Through Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Hashem, you open my lips and my mouth with the proper words so I can say Baruch Atah Hashem. Therefore, that sentence is necessary, because that is the geula for the tefillah, to redeem the tefillah. This is why we have this sentence without it being considered a hefsek. Now, when the tefillah reaches a state of geula, it's free, it's redeemed, it's perfection, at that moment, the Benazar reveals that at that moment there is no longer any necessity whatsoever or any kind of medicines, no matter what the sickness, what the illness, what the disease, medicines are no longer necessary. Because, Beinazal, of course, we know, was very much against doctors and medicines, but he was also very versed in the knowledge of medicines, herbs, and so on. We see from this statement, Beinazal says that what is the power of medicine to cure? How come you take a certain medicine, take a pill, and you swallow it, and it goes right to the point where the disease is? How come the pill doesn't go to the ear instead of the eye? You have a disease in a certain spot, how come it doesn't affect other places in the body? It goes right to where you need it, if it's the right medicine. It helps to cure it. And the answer is that the medicine comes from different types of vegetation, herbs. Now, the Gemara says that every blade of grass, every grain of wheat, every single thing that grows has over it a special malach, a special angel that guards and guides this grain of wheat or blade of grass or herb in growing, in progressing, in developing, and developing its power. Which means that if a certain herb has a certain curative power, it's because the herb receives it from this angel. Now, this is very clear. However, the question is, where does the angel get this from? Where does the angel get the power to give this certain type of cure to this blade of grass or this herb? The answer is, the angel gets this power from above. There's a higher power than the angel. And so on further from the Elam HaYetzida, Elam HaBriya, the higher heavens, until when all these angels combine, receive their power, the central core, the origin of all this power comes from the Dvar Hashem. The word of Hashem, because we have a pasuk, Dvar Hashem, Shemayim Naasu, Ruach Piv Kol Tzivon. With the word of Hashem, the heavens were created, all the angels of heaven were created through the word of Hashem. Which means that these angels themselves receive all the powers they transmit through the Dvar Hashem. Now, when you have the Dvar Hashem through tefillah, if your davening is so perfect that it becomes Dvar Hashem, it means that your tefillah now possesses, contains all the powers that are given to all these angels and all these separate herbs. So if you have this Dvar Hashem, you have the cure for every type of illness. And therefore, you no longer need medicines. You can take bread and water. And with this bread and water, cure every type of sickness possible. Because the power of Dvar Hashem goes into anything at all. So this is why we have a pasuk which says Ve'avadetem es Hashem lekechem. So again, a pasuk of Chumash, you shall serve Hashem, u'beidach es lachmo ha'vesimecha, and Hashem will bless your bread and your water. The end of the pasuk is Ve'ha'asidesi machla mikebecha. Now I shall remove all illnesses from within you. Any internal ailment, any sickness that you have, will be removed by eating bread and drinking water, nothing else, if Ve'avadetem es Hashem, if you serve Hashem. And the Gemara says, what's meant by serving Hashem? Avoda zu tefila. You all know these Gemaras. Avoda means tefila, davening to Hashem. This is serving Hashem. So through tefila, Ve'avadetem es Hashem, serving Hashem through tefila of Hashem, Dvar Hashem, you will then have all the powers of therapy, all the curative powers of all the herbs that exist, and with just bread and water, you'll be able to cure every type of illness. Now, Aben Ezra goes further to say that, let's study this a step further. There are different types of illnesses. The greatest doctor is one who can diagnose a sickness to determine exactly what the illness is, and then to find the proper medication for it. Such doctors do not exist, of course. As Aben Ezra says, doctors generally do much more harm than good. Doctors generally are the greatest assistants of the angel of death. The angel of death is a very busy angel. He has no time to go around killing, so he invokes the aid of the doctors, who are his greatest helpers. And if not for doctors, of course, the story is told in a certain city where the doctors went on strike, they were put out of business, and after a month's time, not one single person died except the doctors themselves. So, which proved, of course, that without doctors, people would live much longer. But to go back to the actual facts about illnesses, the Bible speaks about the actual facts that illnesses consist of various forms. For example, we have a standard type of sickness where a person is struck suddenly, or in a gradual sense, but in a very short time. He is subjected to this type of disease, this type of illness. He becomes sick after a day or two, and it's obvious that he just recently became ill. There is another type of sickness which does not come suddenly. It comes very, very gradually. A germ might enter the body during a person's childhood, but it works so slowly that it takes years for it to develop, to grow within the person, develop, and finally it is recognized when it's at its most advanced stage. this could come even at birth. A person might chas v'shalom inherit an illness from a parent, and the illness is not visible, it's not recognizable until many years later, even until sometimes at old age. This we can see today in the forms, different forms of cancer, chas v'shalom, where there are times that it is obvious that a person could be revealed that a person has cancer, chas v'shalom, and from the experiments, tests made, it is recognized to be something that was within the person for many years and first became detected now. And therefore, if this had been caught at an earlier stage, the person might have been able to be cured. Would have been able to be cured because it was first detected so late, therefore it is too late to cure that person, chas v'shalom. And again, it is due to the fact that the illness was not recent, but it was from a long time past. Now, the same thing too is with medicines. Medicines for various illnesses consist of a simple medicine, can be just one single ingredient that can cure a small illness. For a more serious sickness, you need a combination, a compound of many ingredients. It takes a genius to know exactly which ingredient goes for which sickness. But there is a case where the illness is greater, is more serious, more severe than the medicine. A case where the illness is so serious that the medicine can no longer help to cure the sickness. So we now have, Rabbeinu Nachman says, we now have the different types of illness. An illness which could have a certain medicine cured because the illness is recent and the medicine is a simple one, the person can be cured. You have a case where the illness was hidden. It's an illness that was hidden for an undetermined period of time. Could have been childhood on, and because it was hidden, because it was unknown, when it finally became known, it was too late to cure it. We can now understand this sentence. Benazal says, now with this explanation, we can answer all the questions about this sentence in the Gemara. Because the sentence says that I will not allow illness to strike you, you will not become ill, because I, Hashem, am your doctor. Gemara asks, I'm your doctor, what do you need a doctor for if you will not become sick? Benel says, the interpretation, the meaning of this sentence is, Kol ha-machla, these illnesses, lo asim olecha, I will not allow to develop within you. I will not allow to go further. If an illness strikes you at the very early stage where it is completely unknown to any person, it is known to Hashem. Hashem does know an illness at its first inception. And therefore, ki ani Hashem rofecha, ani Hashem, because only I, Hashem, know about the sickness, only I can be the one to cure it. So I will not allow these sicknesses to develop to a later stage where it will require any further medicine by humans or any type of herbs, because I am Hashem, your doctor, who knows the sickness in its earliest stage. I will cure it then. And that's why, at that time, how will I cure it? Since it is through Devat Hashem, I'll cure it with just plain bread and water. You don't need any medicines then. Bread and water is enough to cure a sickness when the cure comes through Devat Hashem, through Tefillah. With this too, the Rabbeinu says, we can now understand the difficult passage in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Cheskiyahu HaMelech, you recall the story, we had it in history, Navi, we had it in the Gemara way back. Cheskiyahu HaMelech, the grandson of, great-grandson of King David, became ill, and the prophet Shaul came to him and said that you must die. You must die twice. You're going to die now. You also will lose your Gan Eden, Olam Haba. Cheskiyahu was a very great tzaddik, one of the greatest tzaddikim that ever lived. He was so great a tzaddik that Hashem himself wanted to make Cheskiyahu the Moshiach. So he asked Yishayahu HaNavi, how come that I, who have strived so hard more than any person in existence to spread the knowledge of Torah, why am I to be so severely punished? The reply was, because you have not married, you have no children. There is no excuse for an act like that. No matter who you are, no matter how great you are, the first mitzvah of the Torah is to get married and to have children. Do not procrastinate, do not delay, do not fear this step, It is a major, the major step in a person's life. You, plural, should not be schlubs in weight. You have to go into it with courage. When Cheskimel heard this, he said, I want to repent. And the prophet said, it's too late, and he walked out. At that point, this meant that he was about to die. Cheskio HaMelech was about to die. Torah says, he turned his face to the wall, and the wall meaning to the walls of his heart. He poured out words from the depth of his heart, and he said to Hashem, I beg for mercy, I beg for a miracle of life. On what grounds? Because Hatev Be'enecha Sisi, because I did something which is very good in your eyes, something which you favor most. The Gemara says, there's no explanation for that. What did Cheskimel do that was so important and would find favor in the eyes of Hashem, which did find favor in the eyes of Hashem, and Hashem granted him further life? What was it he did? The Gemara says there were two things that he did. Debate. Two rabbis debate this point. One says that he davened. He was Sonach Gulul Tefillah. He said, Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, and started the Shemoneh Esrei without ever having a pause in between. This was the great thing that he did, therefore he deserved a miracle with many years of life. And of course, that statement is very difficult to see, because every person who davens with the connection between Ga'al Yisrael and Tefillah. What's so big about that? Everyone does that. It must be something unusual. Second thing is, of course, Tesis asked that question, and Tesis answers with difficulty that he did it at the time of Asikin, which means just at sunrise, which is a very important mitzvah. But there are people today who do it also, and still they don't have that extra years of life. Still difficult to understand, even with Tesis' answer. Second rabbi says, what he did was, Gona Sefer Refuos. He took the book of medicine, medical books, and he hid them, he destroyed them. No more chance of looking for medicine, medication. What do Jews do now? You can't go to a doctor, you can't get medicines. What are you doing, spirit? Cried Hashem. Very good. That's Hatei Benecha. That's what Hashem wants. That Gemara, of course, proves that Hashem wants you to have faith in Hashem. Daven to Hashem if you're ill and don't go to doctors. So this second point, this second rabbi says that this is what was good in the eyes of Hashem, therefore he was saved. We know as a general rule that when a rabbi in the Gemara makes a statement, it is not his own statement. The whole foundation of our faith is based upon one of these rules we mentioned. A person who does not believe this can never get to Gan Eden. That rule is to believe that the Torah, the Gemara, is Hashem's word and not the word of the rabbis in the Gemara. When these rabbis spoke, they simply repeated words that were given to them from heaven. Every word in the Gemara is the word of Hashem, which means that there is no debate here between these two rabbis, because both of these statements are the word of Hashem. How do we reconcile these two to have them combine into one? Rabbein Adol says, now we understand it perfectly. The Gemara says, it's all one statement. Sonach Gulul Tefillah, which means that Cheskiah HaMelech redeemed the Tefillah. He took the Tefillah, the prayer, out of Golos. Golos means when the tefillah is kept locked up, meaning that the tefillah is not pure. A person, while davening, has strange thoughts. He doesn't have the right kind of kavana. He davens too quickly. He doesn't have the right feeling. He doesn't have the right faith in davening. To redeem the tefillah is taken out of Golos completely, when the tefillah becomes perfect and pure. In the quality of Devar Hashem, he receives Hashem's words for his tefillah. Then, as a result, because he redeemed the tefillah, he was girl of the tefillah, therefore Gunah Sefer Refuos. Since the tefillah became pure, Devar Hashem, there was no need anymore for cures, because then, what happens? All cures come through bread and water. When the tefillah is perfect, there's no more need for cure. So this is what the Gemara means with Cheskiah HaMelech, and that's why Rabbein Adol says it is now clear that once the tefillah is perfect, there is no further need for cure, because Devar Hashem means that you receive all the powers of every herb simultaneously. Every medicine possible is included in this tefillah. And this too is what is meant by the Rabbein Adol's words about going out and for his buddies into the fields. It is wonderful to hear as the blades of grass speak. The Gemara says that every blade of grass, every leaf on a tree, has a language of its own. They all have a language, and what is this language? The rustling of the wind, the breeze through the leaves in a tree, is actually the sound of these leaves, living things, davening, praying to Hashem. So the veils, how wonderful it is to go out into a field and daven, and let your tefillah rise up together with this multitude of tefillahs of all these leaves and blades of grass as they pray to Hashem. This is what's meant by Yitzchak, Yitzchak Lasur Pasoda. The Pasuk says Yitzchak went out to walk in the field. The Gemara says Lasur means to daven. To daven in the field, Suach, Siach means blades of grass in the field. He went to daven with these blades of grass. And what is so important about davening with the blades of grass? This means the perfection of tefillah. He got to the point where his davening received all the powers that are found in every blade of grass and every herb, because this tefillah that contained all the medicines included in every single living thing that grows. So this then is the true translation, understanding, interpretation of this pasuk, where we now understand that when Hashem said, I will prevent diseases from you, prevent them from developing, because I, Hashem, am your doctor, I, Hashem. If you have the pure tefillah, where it is the word of Hashem, you'll never have any problem with illnesses, with diseases. But Gemara says further, a story about one who was ill. This is one of the most difficult passages too to understand. We are dealing now with Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who was the official Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was so great, the only person ever compared to Moshe Rabbeinu in wisdom. And yet, it is understood that Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol's students, Rabbi Akiva included, had the utmost, the highest degree of respect, fear, awe, and love for their rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer. Despite the fact that Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was put in chair at one time by the rabbis of the Gemara, for a very special reason, this did not affect their affection and their respect, their awe for Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. The Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was once very sick, very ill. In fact, this was the time when he was about to pass away. And all these students came to visit Rabbi Eliezer. Students were Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yehoshua, also one of the rabbis of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, who was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, and Rabbi Akiva. They came to visit Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol as he was lying there ill. As they walked in, Rabbi Eliezer greeted them and said to them, there is a very fiery anger has descended from heaven. Heaven is very angry, and therefore I have been smitten with this illness. When the students heard this, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer began to cry very bitterly. Rabbi Akiva stood there, he began to laugh. And they were shocked. They asked him, why are you laughing? How can you bear to laugh now when you see our Rebbe in such a pitiful state, tragic state? Rabbi Akiva asked them, tell me, why are you crying? And they replied, when we see a Sefer Torah, a holy Sefer Torah, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was compared to a Sefer Torah, of course he had every mitzvah of the Torah within him. He was as pure as a Sefer Torah. We see a Sefer Torah in pain, lying in pain, suffering, being desecrated. How can we not cry? But how come that you are laughing? Rabbi Akiva said, the reason I'm laughing, the reason I'm happy is because until now, I never saw my Rebbe suffering. I never saw him have a financial loss. I never saw his wine turn to vinegar. I never saw his flax, his linen, his field become smitten, spoiled. I never saw his oil become turn sour too. Now, I thought it's bad because maybe if he had no suffering at all, he was getting paid for his mitzvahs in this world. It means that he's losing his reward in Olam Haba. I was worried about it. Now that I see our Rebbe suffering, I'm very happy because I know that all his credit, all his reward is saved for Gan Eden Olam Haba. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol heard this, And he asked Rabbi Akiva, you say you're happy with my suffering? I'm suffering to remove the sins that I've done, so my mitzvah is going to be paid in Olam Haba. Could you tell me if in all my lifetime I ever missed one single mitzvah in the entire Torah? Rabbi Akiva replied, I only know what you taught us. You taught us a sentence said by King Solomon, Shlomo Melech, which says, Ein tzaddik ba'aretz, she'yaseh tov le'echta. There's no tzaddik in existence who does only good and does not commit a sin. Well, that means that tzaddikim must commit sins too. And therefore, I can't say whether you broke any law of the Torah, but this sentence does imply that, and therefore, since it does imply that, then whatever sin is committed, I'm happy that it's being punished for now, so you have your Olam Haba in its entirety in the future. And that's the end of the story. A story that's actually hair-raising. Now, the commentaries to Masha asks, Masha says that there is a Gemara which states that it is impossible for a person to die unless there is a sin. And then the Gemara says that we disprove this because there were certain people like the father of King David who died without committing a sin, a son of Yagavino, four people who died without committing a sin at all. We see that it is possible for a person to be pure and die without a sin. Tosfos says, what about this sentence? The sentence we just quoted says, there is no tzaddik in the world who does not commit sins. So how can you say that these four died without sin? Tosfos answered, this sentence does not mean literally there is no tzaddik. It means the majority of people in the world must commit sins. There are a few who don't. In that case, then, how could Rabbi Akiva say this sentence? You taught us this sentence, which says that a tzaddik has to commit sins too, and therefore you probably committed a sin. This refers to the majority. Masha says, and obviously Rabbi Akiva said, you, Rabbi Elazar, are from the majority of people. Majority who do commit sins. That's the only answer we can get. Masha says, Dechik. A very difficult answer, and it remains that way. Obviously very difficult to understand an answer like that, because Rabbi Akiva, who knew the holiness and purity of his Rebbe, would say to him, you are one of the majority of people who commit sins. Which person would ever say that to any Rebbe? Rabbi Akiva especially to say it to his Rebbe who was suffering, I'm happy because you're an ordinary person who has sins, and therefore I'm happy that you're getting these sins erased. The answer obviously is that Rabbi Akiva did not mean this literally as we see here. Despite the fact that Masha remains with the question, it is a mitzvah to answer this problem and to do it according to the teachings of Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal did teach that there are tzaddikim gemurim, perfect tzaddikim, who do go through life without ever committing a sin. This is the basis of emunah tzaddikim. And therefore, in this case, too, we'll see in the words of Rabbi Akiva, where he brought out more than anything else, covet and honor, respect for his Rebbe. This we will take up next week, Mitzvah Shem. We'll discuss the deep answer to this, and we hope that this is what will bring you to this class, because it is a mitzvah to find the answer to this, the true Emunah Tzaddikim, where a person who is zochah to that is zochah to the Geula Shleima, to see the coming of Mashiach. We should be zechut to this Amunah completely and perfectly, to which we can see the coming of Mashiach, be as Mashiach Kenu, and Binyan Beis HaMikdash Shem Heda, Amen, Amen.